Devour the Podcast is for mature audiences only.
Devour the Podcast.
The Boogeyman is real. It's real. And you found him.
He'll tear your soul apart.
What is an excellent day for an exorcism?
Red Rum! Red Rum!
As you check with children.
I'll kill you all.
Drive you crazy. It's crazy.
I'll kill you all.
I want to hear you scream.
I guess everyone's entitled to a
good scare.
Your great-grandpa and your great-grandma lived in this house when it happened. He was the boogeyman, they said. Can't catch the boogeyman. Can't kill the boogeyman. You know, before that summer, everybody would leave their doors unlocked. And after the summer, you saw a stranger. You'd run the other way. And now, he's back.
What do you want?
Turn around. Do not look back.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
The town of Texarkana has awoken to a gruesome act of violence.
He could have killed me, and he didn't.
He chose that girl to be his messenger.
You couldn't catch me 66 years ago. And they never will.
People say that he was a demon or a spirit.
A soul consumed by vengeance.
We are not hunting a ghost. We are after a flesh and blood killer.
Just about everyone around here has got some kind of blood on their hands.
He's gonna make the town pay for its sins.
Some days turn out great. It's okay. The Sundays turn out bright, it's all right.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Devour the Podcast. I'm your host, David. Along with me is Jamie.
As always.
Bo is not with us tonight because he is sick, and I would make a joke about that, but I won't because it's rude.
Like that ever stopped you before, or like it would stop him.
True. It's all of the dick, and that's a joke that makes way more sense with the next Schadenfreude cast that comes out. joining us tonight, however, are three gentlemen that I'm very excited to be talking with. Tyler.
Hello.
Hey.
Brian.
Hello.
And Drew of the Horrible Podcast.
Hi.
Drew's the only one from the Horrible Podcast, though. The rest of us, we're just we happened upon this.
We're floaters.
So tell the people who may not know who you are, which I don't know who the fuck they would be. I've been talking about this show forever. Who you are, what your show is, what you guys do.
Brian, do you want to do since you're the ostensible host of the show, do you want to do the whole spiel?
Sure. We are the Horrible Podcast. That's HORRORBULL. Like, we bullshit about horror. when we started off, the movies we watched were horrible.
We've grown
since then. Now we kind of talk about everything. We do a weekly show. We used to all be in the same state. Tyler defected to Nashville, Tennessee. and so now we still do the weekly show. We've been releasing some back catalog here lately because we've all just been busy. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's a good time. We have a good time of getting together once a week and just shooting the shit.
And the show kind of started just as we were kind of thinking about, we named the podcast first. We didn't actually think what we'd do with it, but Brian and I went to lunch one day and I was like, we were like, you know, if we had a horror podcast, what would we call it? And we came up with Horrible because we thought that was the best pun we could come up with at lunch, and it just kind of stuck. So we decided that we wanted to resurrect things from the Netflix instant queue and see if we could find any really good movies on there. And we started like looking for interesting stuff, and Drew's the resident expert on all of the like all movie things, and so he recommended the movies every week. And we started with like Toby Hooper's unknown movies, and we did like Ty West movies, but then we did some really terrible things with like Alice Cooper in them.
Monster Dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did great Monster one. Dog.
It's a horrible movie, but it's still one of the, it's a great horrible movie.
It's one of my favorites, yeah, still.
And that was the day where we did two movies in one day, and you guys had oh, like, right. Three gigantic growlers of beer, and so by the end, you guys were all yelling and screaming Monster Dog. So
that's a very funny episode. I do remember that one.
So anyway, yeah, now it's more of a general horror podcast. Like there's so much, like we're living in a great age of horror that's interesting things seem to come out every week. So it's not just sort of scraping the bottom of the barrel for something to talk about. I mean, like we've had a really lucky streak in the last few months of really great horror movies or just interesting movies that kind of fit in the genre. Like The Guest isn't really a horror movie, but we wanted to do it because of Adam Wingard, you know.
Right.
So
that's
and
it.
Matthew so, Crawley.
Yeah.
Yes, Matthew Crawley, who I'm told is in Downton Abbey, but I've never seen the show.
Cousin Matthew. Brian has a man crush on him.
He's an attractive man.
He was really doughy on Downton, though. Much more than in The Guest.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah, he's ripped. Brian, he could barely get over that for the entirety of the podcast episode. How much he was in love with Cousin Matthew.
He was gosling over him.
Yeah. I got gosling eyed.
Yeah, I have not heard that one yet. You guys have been doing a streak of newer films that I haven't seen yet. Yeah. So I've unfortunately had to skip them because yeah. I know you guys cover spoilers, and I'm like, I want to see the show first.
And we've been told in comments that saying spoiler the millisecond before you spoil it doesn't count as a spoiler.
Right. Yeah, I just assume.
Well, I think if people are familiar with your show by now, then they should just know that and just know it.
Yeah, and you know, I've always, even to this day, I've never been a, like when someone tells me the plot of a movie, it's never influenced whether or not I'm going to watch that movie at that point. I think up to this point, the only film that I would have ever gotten pissed at would have been The Sixth Sense.
I knew you were going to say that, and I agree. I agree. I mean, for the most part, it doesn't matter to me. I don't generally care if, you know, because people say, oh, I don't want to talk about it yet because they're spoiled. I don't, go ahead. I don't care. If it sounds good, then I'm going to watch it. It's not going to change that. But I guess there's, I probably would have been angry about The Sixth Sense, although who really knows. And then I was much happier watching From Dusk Till Dawn, not having any idea what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. That completely made it an exceptional experience in the theater for me. But if I had known, I wouldn't know what I was missing, so I wouldn't have cared, you know?
Right. And two, the... I lost my train of thought.
I was going to say, the only time that I've ever been concerned about a spoiler was someone told me the end of The Dark Tower before I started reading it. But he told me in a way like...
Is it Will?
No. It was okay. Like, told me in a way that wasn't quite a spoiler, and it ended up not being true. But the whole time, now I know the ending, so this is all for nothing. But that's like, I think that, and maybe if Game of Thrones suddenly ended, if the final book were published, and somebody was like, "Here's everything that happens. This is exactly how it's laid out," I might be a little pissed about.
That reminds me of what I was watching when I was a kid, and I was watching Night of the Living Dead with my mom for the first time. She sat there and she's like, "Oh, too bad they kill Ben in the end." And I was like, "What?" And she goes, "Oh no, I'm just kidding." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, good." And she's like, "Maybe." I mean, she fucked with me the entire time, and I'm just like, "What happens?" So then it actually did happen, and she had kind of saved herself by just screwing with me. But I'm like, "Don't drop a bomb like Now I'm going to be worried about Ben the entire movie.
Was that a constant? Did she constantly ruin movies for you?
No, that was the only time I can recall her doing it. It was just, I mean, we watched movies together all the time. She's the reason that I'm a horror fan.
Awesome.
I went to the movies at a completely inappropriate age to see stuff with her as I was growing up. Because if she went to the movie, or we did it as a family, but that's the only time I can ever remember her just dropping something like that and completely spoiling the end. Only, you know, I guess she probably thought it was funny. And I'm like, but what happens? And then because I was a kid, so then she had to suffer through the rest of the movie with me going, really, does it happen? Does it really happen? Did they really kill Ben? And she's like, shut up and watch the movie.
I recently got my wife with, well, the most recent spoiler thing was for me, my wife was reading Bridge to Terabithia to our kid, and apparently she had not read the book yet.
Oh, Jesus.
And I made the comment, I was like, well, you know, too bad. I mean, how do you think he's going to handle it when the little girl dies? She's like, what? I was like, are you kidding? She's like, I've never read this book. I was like, oh.
Oops. Yeah, my mom took me to really inappropriate movies growing up, but it was always things she wanted to see. So, like, I had to go see Ghost with her, and that was awkward as an 8-year-old.
With your mom, yeah.
I can't look at modeling clay without getting a very strange erection. Sorry.
Did she want to do, like, a mother-son pottery class after that?
Yeah, I can't.
She entered him in the Mother Boy magazine.
Oh man!
Suddenly you were in the dirt and you didn't know why.
What that movie did for modeling clay.
I can't listen to the Righteous Brothers without feeling very weird.
Well, neither can I, but that's a totally different thing.
Totally.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Ghost because I was reflecting on that movie this week. Actually, I was thinking to myself about just men and women and how they explain.
How are you thinking about Ghost?
Listen. my mind.
Wait a minute. Who puts Ghost and reflect in the same sentence?
Well, listen. So I was thinking about just how the way men and women reflect, and I kept thinking, like, God, the whole idea that the word ditto, when Sam would say ditto. And I started thinking to myself, like, I bet what happened was that, like, Molly just unloaded on him every day with, like, you know, well, what are you feeling? You know, can you just explain it a little bit more? And he was just finally tired and was like, when she said stuff like, I love you, he's like ditto. That's I don't want to really get into my feelings now.
But ditto says way more.
Right. Ditto means I am feeling.
It doesn't mean I love Rush Limbaugh. It just means.
Hey, the mind's a crazy place. It goes through a lot of places in a day for me.
I'm sure it does. It's a place I hate visiting once a week. I mean, I take a shower after our podcast.
If they finally make like screens that you could hook up to show what's going on in your mind, I am fucked.
I know. You'd be divorced. You'd like, I hope you have a prenup for that moment.
I think it's unfair to
Swift than that.
I think it's unfair to blame Brian for why you shower. You run before the podcast.
That's true.
That's really why you're showering.
Right.
Yeah.
Tyler's the healthy one. That's his gimmick.
Yeah, that's my entree. Brian's the crazy
one. Drew knows movies. Brian's the funny one. Tyler's the healthy one.
I'm the healthy guy. I'm the one that everyone loves to hate on the podcast. Like, oh God, Tyler and his granola.
Tell us about your marathons again.
Talk about Trader Joe's. Oh, you do love their quinoa, don't you?
And you know, it's because of you I know how to pronounce that word.
Quinoa.
If it wasn't for you, I'd still be saying quinoa.
That's how it should be pronounced.
Oh man.
I know.
So should we get to the film we watched this week?
We can. Right. But however, Brian, I need you to give me a Danzig.
Yes.
Because that is the episode where you guys did that. I don't remember what it was now. But it was so funny to me. I brought it up on this show, which led to Bo and I doing our terrible impressions of Danzig, including changing the words of mother to something food related because we were making fun of how fat Danzig is.
I have also forgotten about that. Do you remember, Brian?
No, I don't.
You should. Can you set the town that dreaded sundown to a Danzig song? Can you think of a Danzig song that would go? Town.
I don't know. I've been put on the spot. Give me a couple minutes, and I may be able to think of something. I won't talk for another 30 minutes, and I'll just
and then he'll just erupt. He'll explode all over us with whatever it is.
It'll peak. The podcast will just burst at the seams whenever his voice rips through it.
Eardrums will shatter.
All right. Well, as we have sort of hinted at, we are covering the 2014 not quite reboot, sequel thing.
Continuation.
That's a nice way to put it. The Town That Dreads Sundown, although it's the same title.
That's how John Rhodes put it, and I kind of liked it.
Yeah, that works. Quick synopsis is, 65 years after the mass serial killer terrorized the small town of Texarkana, the so-called Moonlight Murders begin again. Is it a copycat or something even more sinister? A lonely high school girl with dark secrets of her own may be the key to catching him. This was directed by Alfonso Gomez Rayon. Written by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, okay. Also credited to Earl Smith from the original film. Mm-hmm. Addison Timlin is Jamie. Veronica Cartwright is Lillian. Anthony Anderson is Lone Wolf Morales. Travis Trope is Nick. Joshua Leonard is Deputy Foster. Andy Abel is Sackhead. Gary Cole is Chief Deputy Tillman. Edward Herman, I think, in his last role.
It is.
Reverend Cartwright.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yeah.
December 31st. He died on New Year's Eve. Yeah. I will remember that forever.
You know how pissed off I was at everything I saw online was like, Golden Girls, or no, was it Gilmore Girls star dies? I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you in that show. God damn it.
I mean, to not mention Max from Lost Boys dies.
Yeah. I know, right? Ed Lauder as Sheriff Underwood. Annabelle Field as Dr. Kelly. Dennis O'Hare is Charles B. Pierce Jr., Spencer Clark is Corey, and Wes Chapman is Danny.
I think this movie's more of like a remake of Zodiac. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
That's
a good way of putting it.
It really made me want to watch Zodiac, especially that first scene, like in a real bad way.
I completely agree. I had this exact same thought, too. I was like, man, I want to watch Zodiac again. Mm-hmm.
I had the exact same thought, except for the wanting to watch it part. I did not like Zodiac, but I did feel the connection there. Are we doing spoilers here?
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
I only know spoilers.
Yeah, we don't know any other way.
No, that's fine.
Are we doing
me?
Spoilers here? No. Well, that's been Brian, Tyler, and Drew Clark.
And we're done.
Yeah. Shortest show ever.
No, that's fine with me when it comes to this film, because really the only issues I have with it require explanation, which would be a spoiler. So there's no way around it for me.
The biggest spoiler for me, Joshua Leonard, I thought he was one of the Blair Witch guys. I thought they really died. Apparently he's an actor.
Apparently.
You didn't see the Steak and Shake commercial with Donahue?
Yes!
It was a joke. I mean, the girl's been on Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So
has she?
She was... She accused Charlie of being the father of her son at one point.
That's right. I had forgotten about that.
I don't pretend like I know too much about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but it was season one, so.
Yeah. Well, I remember being utterly shocked when all three of them from the Blair Witch Project showed up on David Letterman. I was like,
I've been had.
I know.
That Sci-Fi Channel documentary wasn't real?
Oh, my God.
I wanted to believe so bad.
Which... we've discussed before, maybe better than the actual movie.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. Yeah.
I was a kid when I saw that, and I was convinced that thing was fucking real. And then my parents were like, "No, it's just a movie." I'm like, "No, they died. Really? Look, it's on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's got to be real."
I thought the only way for that movie to be good was if they really died, because I came out like trying to convince everyone, like, "No, this really happened. That's why it's scary.
We are seeing history." Guys,
I know ghosts have. Well, at that point, when I was 17, I thought ghosts were real. I was like, it's only a matter of time before we like definitively can have them.
That's like what did we when we saw Chris Hardwick at the comedy the Nerdist show, and he did that. If ghosts were real, that would be all they reported on the news that day. It's like, and by the way, ghosts are fucking real. They are everywhere, and they exist. So that's it for me.
That'd probably be the only news for the year.
Hey, speaking of ghosts, did you see the new Poltergeist
trailer? Oh, that fucking trailer.
I came out today.
Yet. I heard you guys talk about it on last week's Devour the Podcast, but I have not seen it yet.
Yeah, I saw it today. It looks like shit.
I was like,
I've stayed away from it so far, but I've not heard good things.
I was like, you know, I had my casual, like, all right, all right, all right. And then the CG started, and I was like, God damn it.
Well, the effects in the original weren't all that terribly great, were they? Or was it later Poltergeist? Where
I think,
they
I think
were,
of the later insane? Poltergeist.
Okay, it was three. Yeah, for the time period, yeah. It was
they hold the up now. Those effects are beautiful.
The chicken?
ILM.
The steak?
The steak, right, yeah.
Okay, the only one that may there's a little shaky is the whole ripping off the face part. Yeah, it looks a little bad.
To this day, I still reenact that in the mirror. Yeah,
I think I'm thinking of the third one. I think you guys mentioned it where you talked about that there's the like
the high rise.
The third one. Face explodes. It's like corn.
Tom Skerritt.
Yeah, it is Tom Skerritt.
Anyway, the trailer for the Poltergeist remake is out. It's full of jump scare bullshit. Mm-hmm. Once again, Hollywood, the people behind these fucking Hollywood horror films nowadays don't understand that if you want a doll to be creepy, you find a fucking normal looking doll and you just light it interestingly. Don't make the fucking thing look evil from the get-go, goddammit.
People won't want it.
Yeah, see, and that's
That doll is suffering from Jack Torrance syndrome.
Yeah, fucking Annabelle, the clown in this one doesn't. The clown in this one looks terrible.
Yeah.
It looks like it came out of a fucking Hollywood effects house. I hate it.
Yeah, God. I mean, the clown in the original Poltergeist was frightening just because it was so normal looking.
Yeah,
and I mean, I'm sure you know. I'm sure we could devote every podcast to how horrible Hollywood has been with trying to reboot things.
Yeah,
that's intriguing. Though it's the guy who directed Monster House.
Yeah,
which I liked a lot. The guy who directed Monster House. Yeah.
I liked Monster House. That's a great. That was one of Jackson's favorite films for like the first few years.
I really like that movie. Yeah, that's a good movie.
It's interesting though, but I mean that still goes back to the issue of remakes of. I mean, at this point, I mean, I don't know that Poltergeist needed to be remade. We've seen lots of things like it, but the thing we're talking about tonight, The Town That Dreaded Sundown, those are the things that need to be remade because it's not that good to begin with.
Right.
I don't know how you guys feel about the original. I mean, Brian and I have sort of talked about it, but I really don't. Other than the opening sequence and like the weird VO at the beginning of the original, I don't like that movie at all.
Yeah, we kind of
don't really like it.
I want to say 5 or 6 episodes back, something like that, and I was not crazy about it.
Which would have been like 7 months ago.
I'm going to go ahead and say I like it, and I can't defend my position. So
there are things about it that I like. You know,
I think I may like it because I bought the Scream Factory edition of it, and I feel like I have to.
Yeah, Brian.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I watched the original over the summer and was like, man, that movie's dog shit. And Brian was like, hey, asshole, I own the Blu-ray. I'm like, you should have known before you bought it.
I did buy it sight unseen. I was like, oh, this looks fucking. I haven't seen Town Dread Sunday.
I think that makes you the asshole, not him.
I'm only out $14.99, so it was
Scream Factory's fault. It's Scream Factory's fault.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they made a glamorous cover that Brian couldn't resist. Wait,
what are we talking about? It's Charles B. Pierce's fault. Why are we blaming anyone but him?
Yeah, the original is just... Yeah. I think the only reason it's been in anybody's thoughts is because of Scream.
Scream mentions it,
and then it's like, oh, hey, that's a movie I should watch. And then you watch it, and you're like, why the fuck did I watch this?
Because this version totally rips off Scream 2.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. There is a huge Scream element to this, yeah.
Which is really the only issue that I have with it. Other than that, I mean, like, right up until the end, I love this movie. I've seen it, like, 3 times, and I love it. It's brutal. Like, the scene where the chick jumps out the window.
Oh, yeah.
And the bone just snaps right through. Now, in 2 seconds later, I'm going, there is no way in hell you're running to your car right now. You know what? I don't even care because it was so brutal. I loved it. And then my favorite in the sign graveyard is my favorite scene. But there's a lot of really cool stuff here. From the very beginning of the film, you have a great shot of a reflection in her eye.
There are some amazing shots in this film.
Really beautiful stuff. I mean, this director knows what he's doing. He has talent, and it shows. And I love it. I love how they integrate the old footage into the new footage. You get a nice little montage there where they mix him up. It was fantastic. The only issue I have is the end. And then I've actually heard that was imposed by the studio. I don't know how accurate that is.
Like, reveal or what aspect of the
reveal? The the whole why there were
gotcha.
Who they why they were who they were. And that what I've heard is that that was not the intended ending, but that the studio said, no, you have to do it this way, which would not surprise me, but I don't know how accurate that statement is.
Too it feels like it ends up girls.
Being the you know the excuse that gets used, whether it's real or not. It's
exactly. Off. So. It could be like, well, not my fault.
It's like it's always yes. your boss's fault.
Studio made
fault.
Me do it.
Studio did it.
It's always the boss's fault, no matter right. what. Yeah, I dug the movie too. I think my only real problem with it is that sometimes scenes just seem to like appear out of nowhere and then happen. You're like, wait, what the hell? Like with the military guy and his girlfriend, like,
oh.
like when the sex just shows up, it's like, oh, we're here. We've shown up. We're in the movie now. And I was like, why is this here? But other than that, I liked a lot.
Are we talking about the soldier and his?
Yeah.
But that was meanwhile. I saw some penetration in that scene.
Well, she covered herself in a way. She was really uncomfortable with how naked that was. It made me ashamed to be watching that. I was like, this is weird.
I wouldn't go that far.
That was a completely different movie than we had seen up to that point.
Yeah, that was such a weird moment.
It felt like a music video, like coming in the 90s, coming out of an MTV, like, commercial break into like a really heavy song, because it was like the movie was happening and then this chick walks into the airport and her friend's like, yeah, let's have sex,
then they're fucking then someone's head's been cut off. It's like what?
It's like a Metallica video.
Also,
yeah, I mean, it was kind of jarring. I noticed that too. I felt the same thing. Like, where am I all of a sudden? Because you know, you're thrown in the airport, and you even get the little header at the bottom that tells you where you are, which side of Texarkana you're on.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, well, these must be important people that they're introducing to the story. Right. And just kidding, they're not at all.
One
but
of them survives.
But also, then, like I said, a few minutes later, I forget all of that because I'm going, oh, shit, when she lands and have that nice snap, which really just gets my attention.
And then she gets cut the fuck up in the car.
Yeah.
Which I had a moment there that I thought of Brian, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure there's not that much blood in someone to cover the windows that much. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is, by the way.
Brian the, horse.
Also, the Jamie character, the main character, reminded me. I thought this is who it was. And I was like, this can't be who it is. I'm gonna murder her last name. Jill Sholin from the a lot of films from the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Dark I know what you're hair. Talking about, but
I'm trying to give me some names.
Hang on here. Let me.
While you're looking that, while you're IMDBing that, I mean, thinking of it.
Yes,
I thought that a lot of the movie was really stylish. I thought it was really well shot, and crane shots, especially at the beginning, I thought were pretty neat.
They're really nice.
Yeah,
which is why it felt like a whole different movie when you got to all the fast cuts and the MTV editing, as people like to say. It felt so different.
It did. Like, there were a lot of really cool. I thought, oh man, this is going to be like a really old style 70s movie. And then, I mean, because it's very obviously styled on, say, I mean, I hate to keep coming back to Zodiac, but it's, I mean, I think it's pretty obviously styled on that and influenced by it, since it deals in a heavy way with obsession and something that is unsolved, which is at the very heart of Zodiac. So it feels like that is the, like, not the original movie, but Zodiac seems to be like the heart and the from the loins is from the loins of Zodiac instead of the town that dreaded sundown. So it's weird for it to turn into this like entirely tonally this entirely different movie at some point, and then but then go immediately back, because like the scene, I think maybe it's just the scene with the soldier, because his girlfriend shows up and it's like really frenetic, and then there's this like really crazy sex scene, and then it immediately goes to like smooth jazz. And then something like a chair goes through the window, and it's all like crazy amped up again. So it's
just, it was a head that went through the window.
Oh yeah, it was the boyfriend's head. That's right.
So Jill Sholin was in. She was the daughter from the stepfather.
Mm. Oh yeah,
Phantom of the Opera, Cutting Class, and Popcorn.
Yeah,
remember
those characters? Yeah,
Popcorn was set at a film festival. I think it was.
Hmm.
It was towards the end of that. It was like 90.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's like an old. I'm just going by what I remember.
It was right at the end of the slasher time, right before we got into the 90s, or right at the beginning of the 90s.
Yes, Exactly.
It was actually, I think it's pretty good. I think it it should get a little more play than it does. There's a, it makes one mistake, I think, in that it uses the same kill twice at two different times. One of them being the big kill at the end is a just a repeat of something they did earlier, which I hate because I'm like, well, this is your opportunity to be, you know, creative. But other than that,
it's like,
good.
Hey, you know, I'm not saying I'm original. I'm a killer.
If I were original, I would have been an artist or something.
Right. This is I'm a one trick pony.
But I can totally see the resemblance there. Mm-hmm.
I get that.
This
looks exactly
she's
like
way this. Too young to be her, but yeah, I get the idea there because she does look very, very much like her.
You're right, because I just saw a picture of her now. Like, oh, that was not her.
Nope.
Also, Gary Cole, guys.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Speaking of Gary Cole and pleasure, man, that blowjob scene lasted a long time.
Well, and you know what's funny is when I was watching that scene, I'm sitting here going, I wonder what's going through that girl's mind right now. You know, like, and how awkward is that to just be face planting repeatedly into this class? You know, and I'm surely he, you know, he's wearing clothes. I hope.
No, that's not how Gary Cole does it.
He's a method actor.
Right?
He's so method.
Those are his real vinegar strokes.
Right. Well, have you ever seen the show The Comeback
with Lisa Kudrow?
Yeah, the Lisa Kudrow show. There's in the second season, she plays a sort of washed-up actress who gets this chance to be in this edgy HBO show, and Seth Rogen's in it. And there's a scene where she's supposed to give Seth Rogen a blowjob, and so really it shows kind of behind the scenes of what that's like, and she's just sort of like crouched under the camera with her head on his crotch. And I just imagine this girl's like moving her head up and down just next to Gary Cole's junk.
Let's get that one again, guys. He's going, oh, God. You know,
as he reached for the beer, I just kept thinking of Office Space. It's like, yeah, I mean, you should come in on Saturday.
Yeah. He'll never be.
I'm going to need to come in you on Saturday.
Yeah.
I was also thinking how awkward that might be for him. You know, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like it would be an awkward situation to be making, you know, pleasure noises while some girl is, you know, bobbing her head up and down. And, you know, there's nothing actually going on and there are a ton of people standing around. I mean, that's why he's a professional, I guess. Actors do some really bizarre stuff.
Well, that's like I saw an article on Gawker about this is the thing that shall not be named, but the press tour for 50 Shades of Grey.
Apparently, oh, I read that article too.
Yeah.
That was very funny.
We hate one another. And so people are all like, obviously when they're being interviewed by, you know, like Variety or whatever, they're being asked like, what's the sexiest season? And these two people who hate one another have to like on the fly come up with answers to questions they don't want to answer with people they don't want to be sitting next to for a movie they don't really want to promote because they hate one another. So
you
I'm
said the two stars just like each other, is that what you said?
Yeah. Huh, Jamie Dornan
and Dakota Johnson.
Yeah, apparently they hate one another. So I can only imagine what it's like to have to promote a movie with someone you just or even worse, I guess, have sex scenes because they're like, oh, it's actually like work. It's not actually any fun at all having all these hairy people watch you thrash around.
I'd like to think that they did something they did back when, God, was it Merle Oberon and Laurence Olivier who had to be in Wuthering Heights together and they hated each other. And so one of them ate garlic before all of their their close-ups and their kissing scenes they had to do.
It's how I imagine.
I'd like to think they did that for those awful scenes.
All of Marlon Brando's co-stars felt about him through every movie after Apocalypse Now.
I'm
like
sure
he was just like a monster.
Even during Apocalypse Now, apparently, like he hadn't read the script at all, and he was getting like $1 million a day, and like, oh shit, who's the director? I forgot.
Coppola.
was writing the scenes and reading the scenes to him in his trailer. They were both so coked up they couldn't create words or things for being on screen, and so that like that's why his performance is so weird and bizarre, is that he had no idea what movie he was in. Like he had just been flown to the Philippines to get boatloads of cash for just a non-huge role.
Guess what? Nailed it.
I know. Like, absolutely did. I mean, I guess that's what happens when you just get a professional to do something.
Looks like I know what I'm doing this weekend. Getting coked up, flying to the Philippines.
So, yeah, as far as, like, things that I loved about the movie, I mean, I think the constant callbacks, they could have gone in a really bad direction and just been hokey, but I kind of like the way that they tied it together. And, I mean, we talked about Scream, but, I mean, Scream's almost 20 years gone now, so it's about time that that sort of, I guess, knowing, self-deprecating thing is de rigueur again.
Holy shit. What? So, like, now we're gonna get Scream references the way Scream referenced Friday the 13th.
Jesus Christ. That's kind of frightening.
Yeah, who are the two killers in the original Scream? Stab, stab, stab. Like, that's that's gonna happen.
But we got to get somebody. But somebody talented's got to do it, though. That's still the thing, though. I mean, because I mean, the thing is, it's still like Kevin Williamson's original script for Scream is still, I think, it's one of my favorite screenplays ever. I still don't understand how it wasn't nominated for Best Original Screenplay, because it's a horror film and that's not going to happen for something like the slasher movie of that. But I mean, it's so brilliant, and that's still the problem we run into is I don't know who's going to do that.
You mean Marcus Nispel's not going to make it?
No, and clearly Wes Craven left out the most important scene, Neve Campbell masturbating while thinking about somebody from Eight's Enough. Yes. That's a thing. Go read the original script. It's kind of frightening.
That's weird.
Eight is Enough?
Yeah.
Who?
I don't remember.
Nicholas?
Yeah, obviously Nicholas.
It could have been David.
I legit don't remember. I just remember that was a scene I had the book
the
novel. Or I had the book of the script.
That's where it's at.
But yeah, that was a whole subplot about how Tatum was going to try and help her get over being a virgin. She's like, oh yeah, just masturbate and think about It's Enough. And
wow.
What a weird suggestion.
Yeah.
Unless, that's like an alternate porn title. Because if that's like a porn title, then, you know, then all right, maybe it's not actually Eight is Enough, the TV series.
Yeah. Maybe, I hope that.
Eight inches is enough.
eight isn't enough, I think.
Eight is.
I hope Rose McGowan's joke to her was, you'll be hoping that Dick Van Patten you.
All right, guys. This has been.
This is the show of terrible jokes.
I know. So I want to ask a semi-serious question. Sure. In that, do you think that there's a web design firm that exclusively works on movies where they make fake Googles and Wikipedias?
There's gotta be. There's gotta be some dude somewhere that's his entire job. Is he's just like, oh yeah, man, I'll give you a fake Google. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, like, what are we doing today? Oh, the town at Dreaded Sundown. They need a Wikipedia and a really bad Photoshop. We're like, we got that stat.
Yep.
Do you guys ever watch CinemaSins? Mm-hmm. Or like Everything Wrong With Whatever?
No.
Oh my God, they're so funny. But anyway, they're like, you know, 10 to 15 minute videos where they take any movie. They've done just about everything. And they're like, Everything Wrong With Poltergeist, and then they'll just go through the entire movie and click off the sins, and it's, you know, it's all in jest, so even if a movie is really good, they're still going to find sins with it. But anyway, it's really funny. But one of the things that he points out all the time is if you know when they pull up the like the newspaper articles, and then you just see the headline. And now I have started trying my damnedest to really quickly read newspaper articles in movies, because usually they go by so quickly that you can't tell. But what you'll notice if you freeze frame them is that they'll be sometimes they're completely nonsensical articles that are just words just that make no sense at all. And then if they don't do that, then they'll take one article and just repeat it all over the place in little sections all over the newspaper. So, I mean, really, I don't think it takes a lot of work. They just sort of sit down and go, blah, 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 blah. They highlight the portion they want you to see. The rest of it is pure nonsense.
Nice.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter. It's just weird for me to think about. I mean, I assume that they do that to avoid endorsing Google in some obvious way, but it's just so weird to see fake Wikipedia, and someone had to sit down and like make a fake Wikipedia article and then do this bizarre, that Photoshop job on the main character's ancestor or whatever was such a bizarre Photoshop job.
Yeah, it looked real bad.
That was terrible.
Who thought that was okay? Just don't show it.
I love it when they use the fake Google. And like, there's one, a really popular one is search. And so me watching it the other day, I forget what I was watching, but I was like, oh, they're using search. That's my favorite.
They should just bring back all the ones from the 90s that failed, like Lycos and Dogpile and all of those.
I think Lycos is still going strong.
Is it?
Sure. Alta
Vista.
If you want to find the really, like, the good porn, you got to look at something like Lycos. There's no filters on it.
There you go.
I hear.
You would totally
hear.
I hear that.
I hear. Mm. Hey, little fun trivia about Town Dread the Sundown. Dennis O'Hare, second movie where he's living in a houseboat and not near any water. He was also in Garden State in that tugboat.
Oh, that's right.
It's of the abyss.
I've blocked out most of that movie.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, man, Dennis O'Hare, you're really carving out a niche for yourself here.
That's a very specific job title.
Yeah.
I think that's his actual house when he's waiting for a new American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Well, he's this was. That. What's that?
Oh, I was just going to say nothing.
He's still living off that True Blood paycheck. Didn't pay
just,
so well.
I thought you just meant True Blood. He was living off True Blood.
He's living off True Blood.
Yeah. Well, he's not living off the pyramid. That's not going to get him anything.
Hopefully. Oh, I haven't seen the pyramid.
Yeah, well,
obviously,
don't.
Not many people did either.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody did. I didn't even realize it was out.
You know who did watch the pyramid?
Me,
King Diamond.
God.
He went and saw that thing a few times.
Brian, I'm still waiting on your Danzig.
I was born in the cemetery.
I'll settle for a King Diamond.
I will too. That's very good.
So I have another semi-serious question. Why is Anthony Anderson in this movie except to be a callback to the first movie?
Because they needed somebody to be Lone Wolf, and who better than Anthony Anderson?
Right. Like, that's such a weird casting choice.
It is. But it kind of works wonderfully because he just rolls in and he's like, oh, refer to me as Lone Wolf. I think very highly of myself. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
No one else could have delivered that line better.
Yeah. Oh, he just has no agency in this film really at all. Like, what does he do except
he's the most lackadaisical fucking Texas Ranger ever. He's just like, we're gonna solve this eventually. Whatever.
It reminds me of Zodiac, where people watch a lot of TV and this is that part. Yeah. Like, well, we gotta have some boring shit, so here we go. But I kind of like that idea of obsession, like, we're gonna solve this, we're just gonna just keep looking through the details. But this is like the eighth grade version of that, where it's like, we're going to look through the details, but only kind of like, we kind of want to sift through all of the details.
And we're going to be bested by a recently graduated high school student.
I know, someone who doesn't know if she wants to go to college or not.
The cult of the high school the high school sleuth is still one of the most obnoxious things. It's like, come on. It's like, I don't know.
I enjoy it. Like, one of her first lines she says too is like, I believe she goes to the party and they're like, do your parents know where you are? They're dead. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. There's the life of the party right there.
She doesn't go to a lot of parties.
Right.
If that's your go-to line.
Yeah.
If you don't have enough of a sense of humor to see where people are coming from, you're not going to get invited back.
Oh no, I know what it was. It was the killer. He's like, do your parents know where you are? And she's like, my parents are dead. He's like, shit. Fuck up this murder.
You can actually see the look in his eyes when she says that. There's a look that passes on. He's like,
God damn
now
it.
I gotta deal with this.
Let's get on with it.
Do you realize how specific the casting was for this movie? Like, everyone they had to cast had to have blue eyes, to have all, mm-hmm. to have every red herring that they wanted in it. From Gary Cole to the new boy Nick, I think was his name, right?
Yeah,
the other boy. It's like everyone had to have these ridiculous blue eyes.
Walked by the camera dude that ended up committing suicide by cop. Did he have blue eyes? Did we get that close to me?
I don't know. The Ben Tramer character?
Right, yeah. That's a weird fucking scene, too. Like, it's like, oh, we're having this memorial, and then all of a sudden, he just shows up. I'm like, what the fuck? I had to rewind it because I looked away for like 2 seconds. All of a sudden, there's gunfire on the screen. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was hoping you guys would explain that to me, too, because I was like, I had drifted for a second, like I was off in my own thoughts, and I was like, oh, wait, they're killing someone. What is this about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you, did anybody else notice him at the beginning of the film?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was one of the first guys who walks by the camera. Yeah.
Oh, and he's okay. wearing a t-shirt that says The Town That Dreaded Sundown. Yes, and the preacher talks to him and says, oh, son, okay. That's a godless movie. And then he just sort of rolls his eyes and keeps walking. And yeah. then right before the scene where he gets shot, you see him walk by her down a breezeway. And she sort of turns and she recognizes him from – or, you know, it's like she recalls seeing him the night of Halloween. And I guess we're supposed to go, uh-huh. But it's very subtle. It's which I kind of like, because if you don't catch it, it's not going to hurt anything, you know, but then they're not beating you over the head with it. It's sort of a subtle red herring that doesn't really last very long, because then he gets killed like 3 minutes later, you know.
Yeah, I think that's this movie's like, if this movie has a grand sin, it's that it has no attention span. It's like, we're going to show you something and then we're going to have an immediate payoff for it, because you're not going to remember in 10 minutes who this military guy is or who this guy wearing the shirt is. It's like, let's go ahead and get this over with so we can get to the sleuthing.
Which kind of works for it, because at least because of the original, there was long periods of just shit not happening.
That movie, I watched it. I always thought, like, oh, this just slipped through the cracks because there were other big, like, you know, Friday the 13th comes out and has a guy with a bag on his head, so there's only room enough for one of those in the horror, you know, slasher subgenre. But watching it and then just having these really bizarre jokes and people cross-dressing and banjo and, like, with your VO, I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? This is crazy.
The original is only good when the death scenes start happening.
Like, the opening scene, I was like, oh, shit, this is terrifying. Like, them trying to start the car, and the car sounds really bizarre. Mm-hmm. And then, like, everything after that, I'm like, did they just insert the scary stuff in between the weird bullshit? Like, were they making Smokey and the Bandit?
This is the B-roll.
Yeah, and then the ending, he's just running off the train passed between us. Shit, he got away. What? Really?
I'm giving up the fight. I'm giving up this chase.
Yeah. Who cares?
Ah, fuck it. We cut this other asshole. It's all good.
It's like in a video game when you get too far out of the sight of the AI characters. They're just like, suddenly they lose attention. You can see the little triangle over their head turn white, and they turn around and walk the other way.
Wait, what were we doing? I was running. Yeah, I forgot while I was running after something. Something happened, but I forgot.
Ooh, piece of candy.
Oh, hey, a broken light bulb. I don't know. Like, that was the thing that was always so weird about that first movie, is it just sort of inserts stuff randomly. And I
know that song and dance.
Yeah. That's your marriage, right?
Exactly.
Ew. I remember reading trivia for the first movie that they weren't able to shoot the end of the movie. So they pulled film from an earlier short that the director did and inserted it into the end of the movie to help ameliorate the ending, to make it seem like less weird. But it doesn't. Like, all I remember about the end of that movie is like people running through a swamp and nothing.
Well, I don't remember this movie at all. Maybe I didn't buy the right movie.
I think you did.
You bought Boggy Creek too.
I got my Swamp Thing DVD mixed up with my Sound the Dreaded Sundown, and I was like, man, this is just not the movie I imagined it would be.
Yeah,
did you get the awesome R-rated cut, though?
Yes.
Yeah, like, where's all the Adrian Barbeau in this movie?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so the ending of this film. So the basic plot is that Jamie figures out that the killer is theoretically the grandson of the original killer.
Of the guy was accused of being.
Right. Okay, that's what it was.
The grandson of the guy that was killed on the train tracks, right?
Right, yeah. Who was forgotten. And so, and at the beginning of the movie, the killer tells Jamie to remind them this is for Mary. And you're like, who the fuck is Mary? And then that finally gets paid off at the end, when it's like, oh, okay, yeah, it is the grandson of this guy who got killed on the train tracks. And they claim that he was one of the suspects, or they ignored it, whatever. And
that made them so mad that they had to come back at 65 years later and commit murder.
Yeah, he was so pissed.
And the other guy just wanted to kill people.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, he just wanted to kill people so that it would...
So he could get out of his bumfuck town.
because he wasn't going to get out of town. Oliphant,
it was the Timothy Oliphant reason for killing. It was like
it's the Chinatown of horror movie endings. You can't figure it out. It's just Texarkana.
I liked his argument. He's like, I'm just going to get my football scholarship and go away to college and have to come back. It was like, but you don't have to.
No,
like,
yeah.
You got away then.
It's like, what, are you planning else to get injured?
Do like every other college kid and end up living in that college town for the rest of your life, you know, because right, that's pretty much how it goes.
Exactly.
Or 20 years in my case before I got out.
I've got to be honest. I didn't pay a lot of attention to like the connections they were making in the, like when they started talking about their theories, I was like, I don't care. I just didn't care about that part of it.
Yeah,
so
basically, once they've revealed who it is, and he's like, "Oh, like I'm fucking the grandson." I'm like, "Okay, cool." And then the other guy's like, "Yeah, here's my reason for what I'm doing." I'm like, "All right, whatever." Like by that point, I was just sort of with it. I was like, "All right, fuck it. You're pulling a scream too. That's fine. Whatever. You're gonna fucking shoot the, you know, dude gets shot anyway. Oh, okay. Well, fuck it. No, he's dead." And
so sure,
took that final one shot. Did anybody else go? Not in my movie.
What did you say, Tyler?
Why did they shoot one another at the end? Like, what was the impetus for that? Was it just because the movie needed to end, or was there an actual reason why? Like, was there a reason why the older guy shot the younger guy?
Because she was supposed to have killed. It was going to be that she killed him, and they killed each. I don't.
He was going to get away with it somehow.
Right, yeah, because
if it
reasons
wasn't for those darn kids and that dog.
The Scooby-Doo ending. Like, yeah. He wanted the Scooby-Doo ending.
I mean, it was a train wreck via Scream is what it just tried to do. And then it was essentially like something. It was like, that's when I feel like they must have called Aaron Kruger to come in and do a rewrite or something for the third act.
Right. It's fine. Like, it's whatever. Like, by then, I was like, I've seen some pretty messed up things in this movie. It's A-okay.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, really, but so much of the movie is so good.
Yeah.
Regardless of the really weird fucking edits in this movie, like we said, where it just jumps to weird shit. I mean, the dudes in the fucking, like, the sign graveyard. Like, that's a fucking, like, that scene sets up. I'm like, oh, okay, they're going to go get, you know, they're going to fucking take drugs or something. And it's like, oh, no, they're gay. Oh, all right.
Cool. It's a really un-gay gay sex scene too.
Yeah,
I did. I wrote my conversation down from those guys here. It's like, we're not gay. We're just two dudes sucking on each other. That was my thought during that scene.
I said, I was like, this conversation is making me uncomfortable because it was just like, you could tell that they just were not comfortable with that whole situation. But
right.
Did you like how they did that? So they had context for the trombone, though.
Yeah.
But they were musicians, so but there's a reason.
It wasn't a rusty trombone?
No.
God.
Another thing I liked, I really, really liked, was the use of street lamps. Mm-hmm. When Nick and Jamie are walking down the street, it's like as they're walking by each house, the lamps will go off and on, off and on, off and on, as it's like motion detector things. But then later on, they do a nice payoff way later in the movie where Nick is walking home from Jamie's place. And it's like click on, click off, click on, click off. And I thought that worked really well. You are waiting for it, but I still think it worked.
Oh, yeah, it was great because I knew it was coming. And I was just like, oh, he's going to show up. And you're kind of trying to gauge it
on the edge.
Yeah, it's like you're trying to figure out, okay, what's the timing going to be? And it's not quite what you expect it to be. I think it's a couple beats after sort of it's like, okay, they let it go a little bit longer than I expected. And it's like, oh, there we go, which is nice.
You take the timing that people are expecting and you tweak it just enough to get them off guard, just enough to where you're either thinking to yourself, oh, well, maybe, oh, shit. You know, nice. But so I think that worked really well. I also love the cornfield scene.
Yeah, totally.
I love
the
colors in that. I mean, first of all, the shot just looked beautiful. The sky is this really gorgeous dark blue, and then you've got the corn beneath that. You've got some great overhead shots. That whole scene I think is just amazing.
Agreed.
I want to see more from this guy.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, then go watch all of Ryan Murphy's TV shows.
Yeah,
that's
he's done
he's
a bunch of
right now.
American Horror Story episodes.
It's. Yeah. I mean, I have no complaints with the way this movie was shot. It had a lot of camera movement. There was some great composition. The way the characters themselves were shot, the cinematography, all looked fantastic. I mean, I agree. Like the opening, the edits at the beginning, the way that the movie, you're sort of brought up to speed. If you had not watched the original, I felt like you totally are with it with this movie. Just a few pacing things in as far as a movie goes. I mean, I could nitpick and pick other things, but like, there's way worse stuff to watch on Netflix, including the original Town That Dreaded
Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's the minor sort of writing quibbles we've had. Like,
it's boring in parts. Like,
there are parts where it's just like, I don't really give a shit. This is filler. But the movie, it has such a brisk pace that you don't really pay that close of attention to it because it's like, oh, this is kind of boring. Oh, never mind. We're on to the next thing. Oh, she's having this weird fucked up nightmare. What the fuck? Oh, okay. We're back to normal. Dude is getting a blowjob. Holy shit. He's got a bullet through the eye. That was fucking awesome.
It was gross. That was genuinely disgusting looking.
Yeah. I also liked that that whole sequence played out very similar to the way it did in the original film, which I liked.
And yes.
I like that they did the homages to the original without rehashing them too much and putting enough of a new spin on them, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's really...
for a movie. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm done.
Well, fine.
I'm done. Okay, that's it. No.
I also love, I mean, I was more excited by this than anything when the movie opens and I get the older Ryan.
Oh, opening. Yeah.
I was so, that excited me possibly more than anything.
You know, and me too. And the first thing out of my mouth was, Orion is still around?
I think they had gone away.
I didn't know that.
I think they'd gone away and gone bankrupt. I think this might be one of the first things that I've seen. This is the first thing I can remember seeing that had it back.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I remember seeing it because when I saw it, I was like, oh, did I click on the wrong movie?
Yeah. I know. How old is this movie? When did it come out?
Yeah, that made me very happy, though, because seeing that logo is just one of my... I don't know. I have some that I just automatically love, and they make me smile just seeing them pop up. And that's one of them. And I'm like, what? They're still around? I didn't even know. And then I felt like I was completely out of the loop. Like, how are they still around? And I didn't know it. Where have I been? So I guess they're doing like a Hammer thing where they just went away.
I don't know. I don't know the full story. I'm actually looking it up right now.
The Orion one and the really old New Line Cinema. The red like spectrographic lines one was always my favorite to see, like with the old Nightmare movies. I was like, this fits. This
totally fits. Like canon as well.
Yeah.
Have you seen that the movie, the documentary yet? The
2013 Orion Returns, 2013.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Vestron Video was one of my favorites.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is really funny. I went to go see, it was one of the Nightmare films I went to see after Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out, and I was in the theater, and someone had brought their kid, and when that logo comes up, the kid goes, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I'm like, oh, kid, no.
You were in for a bad time.
It'll be a bad night for you, kid.
Or a great time.
Depends, yeah.
Maybe he'll love it.
I'm to that point now with Jackson where there's so many horror movies I want him to watch that I'm like, I'm just, fuck it, I don't care, we're watching this. Pumpkinhead over the weekend.
Ugh. A lot of us grew up on them, and it didn't, you know, I'm not a serial killer yet.
I was waiting for you to say, it didn't mess with us, and then I'm like, didn't it?
But in all the best ways.
I know. The people who do a horror podcast, maybe it messed with them a little.
Just a tad.
Yeah, I did the same. I mean, I watched... One of my first memories is being terrified of a horror movie. Mm-hmm. My mom was always just like, your brothers were out like doing drugs and being crazy. You watching horror movies is fine.
I hated them when I was a kid. I didn't watch them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You're out.
Yeah. I came late to the party, but then I hit it hard.
Yeah.
You like with most things, like you came late to the party, but like most things that you do, it's like you went whole hog as soon as you got into it. Devoured everything.
Much like the podcast.
Devour the podcast.
Actually, a lot of people who did not like horror when they were younger and then just sort of came into it. My Brian was terrified of it when he was growing up. But then when Friday 4 came out, that was the first horror movie he'd ever seen. And when Friday 4 came out, he was like, hell yeah. And then it just went like full speed ahead from there on out. But I know a lot of people who didn't like them or was, you know, they were afraid of them, just outright. They would give them nightmares. But then, you know, in their 20s, suddenly they just have a love for them. So
I didn't have nightmares. I don't think I have feelings like regular people. So
I went as Jason Voorhees for Halloween from second grade until sixth grade every single year without fail. I wore a Jason mask to school every year.
I love it.
When we,
I was begging my mom wanted me to be a princess in the first grade, and I was begging her to let me be a werewolf. And she did.
That fits you for sure.
So I ended up being a werewolf in the first grade, and I was the tiniest, most unfrightening werewolf.
That's awesome.
You'll have to forgive my ignorance on this subject, but is the Liken It podcast, is that still happening?
It is still happening. I have a new episode that will be coming out actually very shortly. I just have to stitch it together and it's done.
Are you doing Late Phases?
I am doing Late Phases. I'm also doing Wolf Cop.
How was Wolf Cop? I'm keen to see that.
I loved it.
Okay.
I really did. It was everything you would expect Wolf Cop to be.
We may have to do Wolf Cop on an episode. There's another werewolf film. Weir. Did you see that yet?
That was your movie of the year, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, it was my number one. I also did a Liken It episode where with Ryan. God, so many damn Ryan. What's his name?
Lewis
Gosling.
Ryan Lewis. Thank you. I kept wanting to say Ryan Gosling. Ryan Lewis, where he joined me to discuss Weir. It was the same episode where I did Brotherhood of the Wolf with Duncan. Ooh, so, and I actually think that was the last episode. That was the very last episode. So, and then on this next one, also has Wolf.
I think you mean
I'm the Wolf. There you go.
All
right. So
I was all filled up with me singing Danzig's Killer Wolf. So.
The next time there will be more. The next time we're on, there will be more Danzig. We'll plan a set.
You have to set me up, and then how I rely on these guys now is someone will stare at me or either elbow me. Right.
We have to do House of the Devil so Brian can actually do it.
Have we ever done House? We didn't do House of the Devil.
No.
No, but you sang it a lot.
But you sang the first 10 episodes. That was like half the podcast was just that.
Screeching it. But good.
Screeching but good. Stabbing someone in a bar.
Stabbing but good.
So yes. Do we have anything else we want to say about the Town of the Dread Sundown 2014 before we give it grades?
I don't think so. I just say watch it.
Okay.
Before we grade it.
Okay. Are we in agreement that everybody should watch this fucking movie?
Yeah, I'd say watch it.
There's plenty worse to watch.
Yeah. Well, especially if you've seen the original, and even if you haven't, I think it's still worth watching. If you've seen the original, I think it's certainly worth a watch then.
It's meta enough without being too cute.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. All right.
They're going to put that on the DVD slipcase.
Sure.
It's meta enough without being too cute. I'm buying it.
Jamie, what's your grade?
Yes. Oh, are we doing?
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and do grades for it because it's technically
letter
a
grades?
Feature. Yeah.
Oh well, then I think this is a good solid A. Okay. I mean, I do have issues with the end, but not enough to. I mean, that's what's keeping it from getting an A+ because I really love this movie.
All right, Tyler.
I'm going to give it a solid. Is there anything between a B and a B? I'm gonna say B+.
Okay.
I really liked it. Yeah, I think it's really good. B+, leaning A-. Is that any? Is that a score? B-.
Give it a high.
We're all close.
I'm gonna say it's a B-.
You didn't make up a letter, so that would be a problem.
Beonymous. I'm going to say it's a Beonymous.
That's
not real.
Beglock.
Drew.
That's it. It's a good solid B. Yeah. And, yeah.
All right. Brian?
I'm going to give it an 84B. Like it did most of the homework, but it like sort of slack off at the end. And like I'm just not completing this because fuck it. I'll do it. I'll just take this test and I'll do what I get.
I'll flub the essay.
Right.
I'll get the multiple choice right, but the essay, whatever. I'll wing it.
We'll start off strong, and then by the end, I'll just be like, fuck. I don't care.
I've been doing this fucking thing for 3 hours now. God damn it.
Filled up this blue book. I don't even know what I wrote.
Every answer is B. Fuck it.
Oh, my God. I've used too many Cs. I know the next correct answer is C, but it looks too weird on the Scantron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, standardized testing.
And OCD. Man, that was the worst for OCD.
I'm going to give this an A-, despite some issues at the end and some weird fucking pacing at times. It was really good and way better than the original.
Our show is now on Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
So thank you, everyone, for joining us for this very special, very strange Devour the Podcast. Once again, thank you to the Gentlemen of the Horrible Podcast for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime.
Awesome.
Tell the folks where they can find you and what you guys have coming up soon.
Brian?
You can find us on Twitter at HorriblePCast, HorriblePCast. Our website is thehorriblepodcast.com. We have our episodes on there. We're on iTunes and Stitcher as well, but on the website we have some extras, like we have our resident serial series watcher that does a little recap of all the series that none of us really want to watch. And we have some. I try to get my kid involved and make money off of him by putting it on. Anyway.
Our email address is wolfmansgotnards@thehorriblepodcast.com in case you want to send emails to us.
Nice.
And then next week I did get a screener of Green Inferno. We'll be watching.
Very nice.
I'm just kidding. I don't have.
Oh, damn it! I knew it.
I didn't even react. I just knew it.
Yeah. Well, I guess so. Coming up soon. I got.
Who knows? We'll
text each other on
up.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
What the hell are we watching this week?
Sunday night, we'll figure it out. But you guys are welcome on anytime. This was super fun. So anytime you guys want to record, we are more than up for it. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll figure something out for another one.
Yeah. Just kind of knock at the door. Just be like, hey guys, can we come in today? And we'll be like,
we'll keep you up with like what we're gonna do too. So if there's a movie you're really interested in,
like Suburban Gothic, is that one you would?
Yeah, I want to check that one out.
We could do like if you guys want to come on in the next few weeks, we could totally do that then.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Bo has already seen it, but he'll probably enjoy talking about it.
Sure. Yeah, man.
Jamie,
sounds good.
Are you kidding me? I'll do anything. You know that.
Famous last words. Tell the people about where they can find you. Jenkins.
What? People know where to find me?
Well, tell the Horrible Podcast.
You can find me on Twitter at Maven1974. Same thing on Facebook, /Maven1974. If you want to email me, it's Maven1974@gmail.com. That's about it.
Where can they find Liking It?
Oh, well, I don't want to go into all that.
Well, for fuck's sake, that's the point of this show. It's cross-promotion.
Do you realize how long it takes me to rattle off all that bullshit?
Yes, I've seen your emails.
If they want...
Got the longest signature of anybody I know. And I work for Microsoft.
Okay, look, if you want to check out Liking It, which is my all-werewolf show, you can find that at horrorphilia.com. I also do Evil Episodes, which is horror on television, and you can find that. That's linked at Legion, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Also on Legion is Devour the Podcast and Insomniac's Playlist. If you want to hear me talk movies live, you can tune in to Devour the Pod... Damn it. Direct-to-video connoisseur, which is on Mixlr Wednesday nights at 8. And we do a lot of action movies. We don't do horror hardly at all. We do a lot of action films and mainly it's direct-to-video stuff. And then there's also The Skeleton Crew, which you can also find at horrorphilia.com.
Busy.
She is. Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah, totally. But no, that's good. I didn't know all of this. Now I got stuff to check out.
Jamie is Jamaican.
Oh, you know what? I'll just send you an email. All the links are in my signature.
If you ever need
it's a rainbow colored,
yes,
if you
ever
need a model for your Liking It podcast, I am available.
Will you wear that Speedo?
Absolutely.
Oh Lord. So let's see. I've got Schadenfreude Gaming, which the new one should be coming out pretty soon. I didn't say much on it because I was sick and trying to breathe. DTP 3-year anniversary episode, which is almost 4 hours long, should be released by the time this is coming out. It should be dropping actually on the 6th of February. That is all of the bonus content that I have accumulated over 3 years packed into one episode, and all of that shit's going into a folder and being stashed away somewhere to never be used again. I think I actually pulled a couple of new clips from the very last episode we did as well, just because, fuck it, it was funny.
We need to do a best of episode.
We're talking about doing that for 100, sorry, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We did a live episode for 100.
Let me recommend a live episode with drinking yes. for your 100th episode. Because yes. Boy, was that fun.
Oh, yes.
Do you have a lot of people tune in and listen?
Yeah.
We did.
I want to say we had close to 100 at one point.
Oh, very nice.
And it ran almost 5 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And I got progressively drunker as the evening went on.
Yes, you did. We all did. It was pretty great. So, that stuff. Also, Devour the Podcast has a YouTube channel now. I believe it's just search Devour the Podcast on YouTube. You'll find, as of this recording, our reviews of Pontypool and Waxwork are up. We'll be uploading.
Of course, you put up the one where you broke me. The Waxwork review made me cry.
It's a wonderfully shitty movie.
Yes, that it is. It is a wonderfully shitty
movie. It's just a wonderful movie. I just love that movie. And you got to hear that episode. They just.
I do now. Just, now that you cry, I have to.
That movie is so silly.
It is. It is way silly.
Oh, yeah. And there's a whole other side story I'll tell about that shortly after we're done recording this. But yes, that will be. I'm going to be going through all 100 plus episodes and pulling reviews and reposting them up on YouTube for people to check out, because I think I want to say from like 75 back maybe is no longer available on iTunes. It's online. The shit is there. It is available. It's just a pain in the ass to get at. And then our next episode should be John Cross joining us for Friday 8 and Antiviral. I think that's right.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. I could look at my notes, but that's fuck that. That requires turning things on. And anyway, and hopefully Bo will be back for next episode. That'd be nice, because he keeps missing fucking episodes. Bullshit. It's the worst.
Check.
I know, right? I think Duncan was telling us to fire him. But Duncan
just wants to come on.
Duncan just wants to cause trouble.
Which would actually be okay with me. I'd be all right with that. Hey, any of you guys looking for a job?
How much does it pay?
What are you making now?
You know where I work. You know.
I'm at podcasting.
Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, about that. We can match that.
Oh, okay.
It's a very round number for sure. Yes.
We can offer you 100% more than that. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it for this episode. Once again, I want to say thank you to the Gentlemen of Horrible. Thank you, everybody who's been listening. We'll be back soonish, hopefully. Fingers crossed, we'll get that Friday 8 episode out. And that will be interesting, because that movie's fucking terrible.
Save it.
So, that's it. Say goodnight, folks.
Good night.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us on.
Bye, everybody.
If you wish to contact Devour the Podcast, you can reach us by email at CenobiteDave, that's CenobiteDave,
DAVE @gmail.com or maven1974@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at DDelamorte, DDELLAMORTE, or maven1974. To visit the site, go to devourthepodcast.blogspot.com. And now you can leave a message on our fancy new voicemail at 760-661-7280.
I guess everyone's entitled to a good scare, good scare, good scare, good scare.
Sometimes. Devour the